do Forbes magazine and the Apostle John have in common? You are going to learn the answer to that question and many other queries here on the Revelation Series show. Where else are you going to get this kind of information? I have a tie between Forbes magazine and the Apostle John and the island of Patmos, which I believe I've been calling Patmos, but I looked it up and it has three different pronunciations. Patmos is another way you can say it. Patmos? Are you kidding me? And yet it's legit. So I think Patmos would probably be legit. In fact, I looked it up. It is legit. But the first pronunciation, I'm going to go with it because you know how mainstream I am. I want to be accepted by everyone. I want to pronounce it like everybody does. So I'll say Patmos. Patmos. All right, that's the way I'm going to pronounce it from now on. John came to be on this island. We're on in verse 9 of chapter 1. I, John, your brother and joint participant in the affliction and kingdom and endurance in Jesus Christ, came to be in the island, which is called Patmos or Patmos. I came to be in the island on the island of Patmos. I suppose you could pronounce it that way too. Listen to this. Here's the reason he gives. I used to think one way about this, I think another way. I suppose it's a point of controversy. I came to be on the island which is called Patmos because of the word of God and because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, when we're still in the prophetic section and John is on this island, but as soon as Chapter 4, verse 1 kicks in. He hears a sound. This is the first sound he hears on the island of Patmos. This is the commencement of the throne section. Not what I just read. What I just read is still in the prophetic section. Remember, Jesus Christ as prophet. The beginning of the book of Revelation. That goes on through chapter 2. And then we have a prophetic section repeated. So the first sound he hears calls him to the Lord's Day, chapter 4, verse 1. From that point on, we're not to think of him on this island in the Aegean Sea, off the coast of Greece, in a cluster of islands. We're to think of him as in the Lord's Day, because he is. For all intent and purposes, he leaves. At the end, he leaves. So great. You remember when Philip was transferred in the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch? He's transferred, and they found him in Azotus. They're like, zip, you're gone, now you're someplace else. I look forward to that kind of travel advantage. But today, it's very slow, very humiliating to travel today. John went in spirit to be in the Lord's Day, and bye-bye Patmos. But for the time being, he's on the island, and he's stating where he is. I, John, came to be on this island of Patmos. Now, I did a little research on this island, and it is a small Greek island in the Aegean Sea, as I stated, and it is a very small island, 13 square miles. You know what the population was in 2011? This is embarrassing for the island of Patmos, actually. 2,998 people. 2,998 people lived on this island. Very small. It's mentioned, this is from Wikipedia. Part of this is ridiculous, which is why I'm reading it. I think it's entertaining. Patmos is mentioned in the Bible book of Revelation. The book's introduction states that its author, John, was on Patmos when he was given and recorded a vision from Jesus. And Jesus is cross-referenced. I could click on the name Jesus here and tell you about Jesus, but I don't want to do that now. Early Christian tradition, which you know, I can barely pronounce it. I get nervous when I see those two words together. Christian tradition. Try to say that 10 times fast. Identified this writer, John of Patmos, as John the Apostle, though some modern scholars are uncertain. Well, of course they are. They're uncertain about the most obvious thing. John is writing this at Patmos. Though some, modern scholars. That's also a phrase that makes me nervous. As such, Patmos is a destination for Christian pilgrimage. Of course it is. Now, wait till you hear this part. Visitors can see the cave where John is said to have received his revelation. It's called The Cave of the Apocalypse. And you can also click on it. There's a live link, and you can read about the Cave of the Apocalypse. Now, oh, and several monasteries on the island dedicated to St. John, naturally, because Christians make a shrine of it. For one thing, are you kidding me? You think John wrote this in a cave? Of course, why wouldn't you think that? Now, this is what Forbes magazine has to say about the island of Patmos. Forbes, in a 2009 research, has named Patmos as Europe's most idyllic place to live. 2009, Forbes magazine. Patmos, named Europe's most idyllic place to live. Why is that? Quote, due to the fact that, quote, Patmos has evolved over the centuries, but has not lost its air of quiet tranquility, which is one reason why people that know it return again and again. Quiet tranquility. It's idyllic. It's a paradise. It is rocky, however. I'm looking at a picture of it right here, and it's like a big jumble of rocks. It's only 13 square miles, so I suppose you have to do some scrambling. And this is going to loom large here when I tell you what the name means, because every town, every name in Scripture has a meaning. When you find out what this name means, Patmos, in the Greek, then you're going to get some insight into why God sent John here to write the book of the unveiling. A cave? Give me a break. What? That's, of course, you know, drip, 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 and John by candlelight in a cave. It's so medieval. It's so spooky. It's so Christian that, no, he wrote it under a palm tree. He wrote it in the light of day. Why would he write in a cave where there's no light when he can write in the sun? People think John is suffering here, and this is a common conception, that John has been exiled to Patmos. I say no. I say no. I say he's here. Well, I'm going to get to that. We're going to get to that. So it's idyllic, and it's a tourist destination. I'll have you know, I had a chance to go to Patmos 2 Octobers ago. Some of you may have heard me talk about this in another show. Maybe I mentioned it back in the day. Yes, I have a friend named Ann Brechtelsbauer, and she teaches bridge on cruise ships, and she needed an assistant. I said, well, I don't know anything about bridge. She goes, well, I'm only teaching a couple classes here, so you can just be dead weight and accompany me. I said, well, that sounds really good. And I looked at the itinerary, and one of the on the itinerary was Athens, Ephesus, and Patmos. And it's a destination, a Christian pilgrimage. But since I'm not a Christian, I didn't want to make a pilgrimage to Patmos. For one thing, I don't associate myself with the circumcision. For another thing, Earth has lost all its appeal for me. People want me to visit them, and they talk about the natural landscape of where they live. Oh, Martin, you've got to see the waterfalls here. They're awe-inspiring. Martin, you've got to see the mountains. I've seen it all. You've seen one waterfall, you've seen them all. You've seen one mountain, you've seen them all. I'm no longer impressed by Earth. And what was interesting was, I mean, Anne was going to pay for my way to this trip, totally free. I was going to get free drinks. I was going to go to Patmos, for the love of God, and Athens and Ephesus. It was like a trip of Paul's first missionary journey, only on a cruise ship with free alcohol. And I declined it because I said, this is what I said, I'm really into my shows right now on 2 Timothy. I'm on a roll. So I said no because I favored Paul. I favored Paul over going to Patmos. For me, it's not a Christian destination. I don't want to go to the Cave of the Apocalypse because you won't be able to see anything in there. Besides, I would rather see, if I had to go, I would rather see the palm tree under which John wrote this and the coconut from which he was drinking while he wrote it, because he's in what Forbes has called the most idyllic place to live in Europe. So, you know, he's under a palm tree drinking from a coconut. I know these things instinctively. I just know these things instinctively. So the meaning of the name is treading. In Revelation 11:2, this is the root word is pat, P-A-T. The root word there is used in Revelation 11:2, talk about treading the holy city. It's used in 14:20, talk about the trough will be trodden outside of the city. And the rider on the white horse is treading the wine trough in Revelation 19:15. So in this book alone, three times the root word pat is used here, and it's tread. So this is suggestive that Israel is going to be trodden upon by the nations in the last days. And the fact that the physical environment here of this island, which is, again, it's rocky. It's a rocky island. This is A.E. Knox's definition, a small rocky island in the Aegean Sea. And Israel is going to find itself barren and abandoned. And interestingly enough, this island, being an island by definition, it's surrounded by water, by the sea. The sea in Scripture typifies the nations. You see, I can draw allegories here, but I'm not eliminating the literal truth that John was here. So Israel's going to be surrounded by the nations. So the, and you should see the picture of this place. It's rocky. It's an almost like just you're just constantly wearing your mountain boots or riding on the back of a goat. On this island. I'm not saying there still aren't palm trees. Right on the edge, that's where John wrote, see? So it's typical of Israel, I think. And the treading is also significant. So the physical environment corresponds to Israel's spiritual condition in that day. Isolated, barren, in the midst of the nations, yet apart from them, surrounded by the sea. What better place? What better place for John to be? Now, when we see that John says, I came to you on this island because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I always thought that because John was testifying about Jesus Christ, say, back in Jerusalem. Oh, by the way, why wouldn't God give him this in Jerusalem? That's where he was. Why didn't God give him this revelation in Jerusalem? Or better yet, if he's writing to the seven ecclesias existent at the time, except for Thyatira, why not write in the middle of the ecclesias somewhere? No, he's in this rocky, barren island. I don't think it's because he was shipped there or exiled there by Rome. That's the standard thinking. I used to think it myself. I think it's wrong. I came here because of the Word of God. It's not because John was persecuted for teaching the Word of God. It's because this scroll is the Word of God. And he came here because it was a fit place, both topographically and nominally, that is the name of it. It was so typical of Israel, and John needed to be isolated. And so either the Spirit spoke to him, or he saw a brochure one day, the first century version of Forbes, that said, "Have you ever traveled to Patmos? It's a wonderful attraction. Come to Patmos and enjoy the rocky outcroppings, the many, many palm trees, and drink to your content and fill from our delicious selection of coconuts." Whatever the reason was, he went there to write this book. He's not under duress of any kind. He has liberty to write. And so he's here on the island, which is named perfectly to tread. Israel's trodden by the nations. It's perfectly set geographically. And if you want to visit there, it is located 37 degrees, 19.5 minutes north, 26 degrees, 32.5 minutes east. That's the coordinates. It's 13 square miles, and the population is 2,998. You could make that 2,999 should you decide to move there.